The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
A pleasant good evening to you all. Live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall, in front of our live audience from FedEx, we welcome you to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our first live edition of the 2013 season, Pat.
Yeah, this is better than being the Bears All Access closet where we normally do our show.
Right.
This is a lot better.
Yeah, and we get to look at people, get an immediate reaction.
We can know if we're good or bad or funny or dumb. Yeah, this will be good.
How you feeling?
I'm doing better than I was yesterday, which is what you want to be when you're injured.
You are a lot better. According to Mark Trestman, you are week to week with a calf injury.
That would be the diagnosis then. That's how we do it. Coaches speak, and they're the ones who we go with.
What's the scouting report on Jeremy Cain, your replacement this week?
Jeremy's great. Jeremy was actually here in, I think, 04, 05, and came in as a linebacker. And I think one day in practice just picked up the ball. I guess he snapped a little bit in college at UMass and picked up a ball, and Dave Tobe saw him snap and said, wait a minute, you've got a skill there. Let's work on this. So while he was here playing linebacker, we worked at it. And he got pretty darn good, and then unfortunately he got released, and I kept my job. But he got released as a linebacker. I believe it was the Tennessee Titans picked him up as a linebacker. Their guy got hurt during the week. Jeremy had to snap in the game, and then from then on he's been a long snapper in the NFL.
You're like the Bill Parcells of long snappers. There's now a long snapping tree. You know, James Anderson did it in the preseason. Desmond Clark occasionally tried to do it, and now Jeremy Cain comes back.
It's good to have him back. He's very good. He's played a long time in the NFL, and he'll do a good job.
All right, let's introduce our star guest for the entire hour. You might recognize him from a whale of a performance. The man who ended the six-game losing streak against the Packers, along with the help of the rest of his Bears teammates, quarterback Josh McCown.
Thanks for having me. A star is a little overstated there.
We all right. One of the stars. I apologize.
I mean, quarterback's always the star, isn't
right.
he?
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's got to be.
But that's what makes Josh McCown Josh McCown, is the fact that he tempers the enthusiasm, always deflects the attention away from him. And that's really why I think you resonate with your teammates. Am I right?
He's unbelievable. He's one of the best teammates in the locker room. He's the one that talks to everybody. He's friends with everybody. And that's what makes him great. And then when he got his chance to start, everybody lined up right behind him and said, let's go win this thing.
What was the key to the 18-play, 80-yard drive that sealed the game?
I would have to say that started probably. It starts up front because we ran the ball a lot. And it starts in the weight room and the way these guys work. And, Pat's seen it. These guys get in there. Roberto leads these guys in there. And they get in there and they work together. Harder than probably any group I've seen, you know, in my 12 years. And they put the time in to get stronger, and you see that play out on the field with the way we run the ball that last drive. I think within that drive, one of the key plays was Martellus Bennett's effort on that third down to get us in a fourth and short. Everybody talks about the call that Coach Trestman made, and it was a great call. But the play of the game for me was Martellus' effort getting us into that fourth and short to where we were in that position to pick that up and keep that drive going.
I got a funny story. I was on the bus after the game, and I go with the O-line, sit on the bus. Evan Britton, number 62, comes in as the monster tight end or whatever they call him. He said he came in on, I think, play 12 or something during the series. And he's like, guys, man, you've already been going for 12 plays. And all of a sudden the O-lineman said they got tired because they realized it was 12 plays. But before that, they weren't tired. They're like, hey, don't tell us that.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you don't realize. You're just the next play and the next play and the next play. And you jog off and people, hey, you guys played 18 plays. You're like, what? Wait a minute. So, yeah, I know the feeling because it was. I've been a part of maybe one other kind of that long. And it's a neat feeling because towards the end of it, you just feel like you've taken over the game. So
And myself and Adam Podlesch are waiting over there. You guys got the ball back with 9 minutes or something to go, and we're like, hey, let's hopefully we can get a ball, you know, talking to Adam about his punting. So let's get it to midfield. We'll pin him down and they'll have a long way to go, not knowing they would take the entire fourth, the end of the fourth quarter to, you know, put points on the board, which was huge.
Yeah, it was a tremendous drive to seal the deal. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, Josh McCown, our guests for the full hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. If you want to tweet us a question, you can send it to the Bears All Access Twitter account, at Bears All Access, and we'll be taking your questions throughout the show. After the game, the big thing was you guys handed the game ball to Mrs. McCaskey. But for you personally, Josh, you had an opportunity to play in front of your kids, right?
Yeah. My wife, you know, she's pretty cool. She flew in to Chicago Monday morning, drove up and took my two sons. I have four kids. Took my two sons up to the game with her, and so that was neat. It was special. It was special, you know, for them to be there in that environment. I played there, you know, three or four times, and every time you go, it's special. And especially when you go as a member of the Chicago Bears, and so to be there playing Monday night, all that. And considered, I was thankful she did that. It was really cool.
And they're of an age that they get the game of football. They play sports themselves, right? So how much more fun is that to, they get to truly enjoy it. They know what the game was instead of just picking up a little toddler or something.
No doubt. She said they were in the stands and you know, there was other kids around them kind of, you know, doing what kids do. And she said they were both just sitting still. They're dialed in. They're watching the game. So they're both 10 and 9, but they love it. You know, when I'm home, they want to play one-on-one, and I'm playing quarterback, and they're running routes, and that's what we do, you know, and so they stay pretty dialed in, and they're always at, you know, talking about, asking questions. Hey, you know, Dad, hey, what was Matt Forte thinking on that play? Or, you know, I'm just like, man, you know what I mean? So they're pretty critical, but they love it.
Give me an idea of both of you guys. Fourth and one, such a critical situation in the game. And Tressman goes, let's go for it. Did you expect him to go for it at the time?
You know what? It's hard to say. I mean, I certainly thought he would consider it. I mean, we had talked about that going into the game of just, you know, regardless of who is in at quarterback, but especially when Aaron Rodgers is playing, you know, some of these fourth and shorts, you got to think about continuing to keep your offense on the field. So he made a great call. They talked about it, made a great call, and we went out and executed it.
There's some quarterback news at Hallis Hall from today. We're going to get to that coming up next with one of the quarterbacks, Josh McCown. Patrick Manley is along. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of a live audience from FedEx on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back live for the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our live audience from FedEx here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, along with quarterback Josh McCown and Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you with us. Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live for the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network of shows. And this is where things get a little bit delicate. You go out and you did your job on Monday night, and you helped the Bears defeat the Green Bay Packers. But you knew that when you took over as the quarterback, it was only a temporary thing until Jay Cutler would get healthy. And it is remarkable that in 18 days from the time where he tore his groin muscle against Washington, he's back practicing with no limitations.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. He's definitely set a new standard, I think. There's going to be a lot of, you know, part players looking around when they get a groin injury, going,
might be some phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm going to get in touch with Cutler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because the initial timetable was at least 4 weeks. Didn't mean he was going to be back in 4 weeks. It could have been longer. And, you know, he's back in 18 days, and he's going to start Sunday against the Lions.
Yeah, he's busted his butt. I know that.
No doubt. I mean, anybody knows Jay, knows, you know, you know what kind of guy he is and how determined he is. And he approached that, you know, same way he approached everything else. And so he gets on the heart machine and gets after it, and next thing you know, he's you know, back ready to go. So it's pretty impressive.
A lot of people hear the term ARP machine, and they have no idea what it is, but Patrick Manley does.
I've been using it for 8 years now. You know what, I got a little write-up here, so I'll read some stuff to people if they want to know what the ARP is. So the ARP, it stands for Accelerated Recovery Performance Trainer, and then it's like a STEM unit. People call it a STEM unit. It's not STEM. It's a different form of current. So it uses direct current along with a high frequency background waveform. So it's different from, you know, if you've heard of microcurrent or the Russian stim or a TENS unit. So it's a different current you're putting in your body to help recover. But
just so we're clear, electric current.
Yes, electric current. Yes.
Everybody
understands. Yeah. So he put it on you the other day or yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes you cry. And
it's not comfortable.
No, it's not comfortable at all.
But so I'll just follow it up here. So it's a treatment philosophy is based on the simple fact that all soft tissue injuries are caused by the body not absorbing force properly into the muscles. So bone, ligaments, and tendons are damaged. So what the ARP does, it finds the muscles which are not doing their job. Along with the participation of the patient, it gets to those muscles and it turns them on at a very high level. So the way I describe it is if you've got a scab, well, let's see here. Let's talk about my calf. I've used the ARP. You find hot spots or trouble spots or the spots that are not strong that cause my injury. So I found those. You put the ARP on there on the hot spot that caused the injury, and you are trying to, how do I describe this? Let me see. You're trying to find the hot spot to cure the injury that caused the hot spot. So if you have a scab and you're picking at a scab, what you're doing is you find these hot spots and heal the hot spots so the scab will not keep getting peeled and keep getting ruptured.
So
once you strengthen those hot spots, the scab will not get peeled and it'll heal itself. So my calf, as I walk more on it and my hot spots get stronger, the calf will heal faster.
So another area of your
body. Sorry about that. I got a little tricked over my words there. The ARP confuses me. My brother-in-law hasn't been my trainer for years doing it, and he wrote this little write-up for me. And you know, it's tough to describe. He can describe it better, but it's a great machine that helps you heal yourself quicker than any way else you can.
Does he sound like a guy who went to Duke? Probably had a 60 on the Wonderlic. I mean, my goodness.
More exactly. Six.
but what you're saying is, to dumb it down someone like me, that your calf is the problem, but there are other areas of your body that are weaker.
Okay, my calf is the injury, but there's other parts of my body that are weak that cause my calf to pull. So what I'm doing with the ARP is finding the spot that is weak that caused the calf to pull.
And making those areas stronger, which in turn helps your calf
heal faster.
So
every time I walk, that calf is not being strained as much. The other muscles are taking charge.
So Jay was and you said it made you cry, Josh, when Jay used it on you.
Yeah, I mean it was I said, man, let me see what this thing. So he put it on me, did it on my shoulder. Nothing was really hurting. So he said, hey, let's just throw it on your shoulder. And he cranked it up pretty good, and not pretty good according to him, but to me it was perfectly fine, and it was pretty painful. Yeah, it was pretty painful to say the least.
To use it and to get healed, you have to go through some pains. I think most athletes would use it because they want to get back on the field quicker, or a patient that has an injury that has just been nagging him forever or kills him. But it's painful and it's hard work.
So give me an idea of how many times a day Jay Cutler was doing this to his groin.
You can do a treatment 6 to 7 hours. A treatment has to be done between 6 and 7 hours. So you can get 2 to 3 in a day.
And it's painful. Extremely painful.
Yes.
So you give him a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah. That's why I started saying he's a tough guy. I know what he's gone through. I've dealt with other injuries or nicks and stuff that I've had with the ARP, and it's helped me come back quicker. And, you know, like say you get nicked up on a Sunday, and on Wednesday practice you're sore. But I've gone where I'm nicked up on Sunday and going to Wednesday practice where I'm feeling good.
Zach Sabin, Patrick Manley, our guest Josh McCown for the full hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, let's get to the stuff people want to talk about. How did Jay Cutler look at practice today?
Looked like Jay, you know. Spun it very well, as usual. And, you know, just got back into the flow of things. So, looked really sharp. Feel like we're putting together a good game plan to attack these guys. And the guys look good, look sharp, and, you know, looks like, you know, picking up where we left off in Green Bay. And Brandon, Alshon, Marty, Matt, they're all running and looking good. So hopefully we can keep it going.
Now, you and Jay Cutler are tight. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Very.
How did this happen?
I don't know if it's a good statement. It's a fair statement.
Okay, that's and I'm not judging either one of you. I'm just saying that when you arrived with the Bears – in 2011, you didn't know Jay Cutler.
No, we just met from being here, and for me, just, you know, being around him and you know, seeing, you know, just his skill set and how good he can be, and just wanting to give some of my experience to him, you know, transfer some of that information and things that I've gone through that, you know, that maybe could help. And you know, over the course of that back and forth, just became close.
Well, my guess is it's got to be, I think when you become friends with somebody, you respect somebody. And I think that you obviously respected him with his play, and then you guys hang out together and he respects you. I mean, not saying you're not from your play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys, that's the way you knew him, and yeah, he knew you from your play. But just being two people, two friends to get together, I think there's a lot of respect there, and you guys have grown together, and it's kind of, it's funny to watch those two. I mean, it's, if you see Jay, Josh is going to be right behind him. If you see Josh, Jay's going to be right behind him.
And you guys are, at least on the outside, to someone like me, you seem like complete opposites. But yet you guys have a lot in common.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we probably are to a degree. There are some, yeah, there's some shared commonalities. But yeah, we're definitely opposites. But I think that's what makes it fun, you know. And I definitely, you know, I think we both enjoy coming to work. You know, when you have somebody that you're working with to accomplish something, it's fun.
We got to take a time out. When we come back, we'll show Josh why this next segment is the highest rated segment of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a Bears authority? We're going to find out next right here on Bears All Access with Josh McCown and Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaidman in front of our live audience here from FedEx from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. The Bears and Boeing invite Bears fans to help salute the troops, uploading your salute photos to Instagram and Twitter using the hashtag #SaluteBears, and your photo could be used on the Soldier Field video boards on Sunday. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, Josh McCown here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall in front of a live audience from FedEx. Give yourselves a, yeah, there you go. A little enthusiasm here. Now, if you want to tweet a question to Josh and Pat, you can do so on the Bears All Access Twitter account at Bears All Access. We'll read some of the tweets a little bit later on in the show. But before we get to Are You a Bears Authority here, our highest rated segment on the program, you were talking about the yin and yang that makes the friendship work between you and Jay Cutler. But I think where you guys are similar, now he might have the golden arm and you kind of joke that you don't, but your arm's good enough. It's the athleticism. People don't realize that you've played receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. I try to keep that a secret.
It's on tape.
It's on tape. It's out there. Yeah, back in, 06 or 07, whenever I was with the Detroit Lions, so whatever year that was, we had some injuries and, for lack of a better term, incompetencies. And so we're at halftime, and coincidentally, Mike Martz was the coordinator then. We're at halftime of a game up in New England, and we had a busted route by a certain receiver that he didn't appreciate. And so as we're walking off, you know, he looks at me and goes, "Hey, grab your gloves. You're playing receiver the rest of the game."
Had you ever done this before?
I had played you know, kind of some spot duty the previous week in Arizona during a 2-minute drill just for some guys that got gassed. But, you know, never like, and because of numbers, but never, you know, like in front of a guy, like right, because he won. So it was like, wait a minute, you know. So, and it was one of the most fun halves of football I've ever played. You know, it was this, you know, it's crazy when you've played your whole career facing a defense to catch a ball with your back to the defense. It's just a weird feeling, you know, and I'm just like, you know, and nobody hit me, and it was fun, though.
What are your stats?
I think I had two or three catches, and I don't know, 20, 30 yards.
Any yak?
I caught a little, you know, shallow route coming across the middle, and turned up, got about 6 or 7, nice. Got tackled by Vrabel.
Oh, that must have hurt.
Yeah, well, it didn't feel good.
Is it worse than a sack, though, a blindside sack?
No, because you see it coming, you know what I mean? Oh. So it's not near as bad, yeah.
And you know, the irony is, not irony, but I just think it's remarkable that you go from that situation to this one now, and you can make a case that the Bears have as good of a receiving tandem as you'll find in the entire National Football League.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, people have asked me about it, and I liken them to the best group I played with was Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, and I didn't think I'd ever play with two guys like that again. I mean, you know, we had one season they both had 100 catches, and then you get these two guys, and I'm like, well, you know, how could it get better? And these two guys are special.
I think the step that Alshon's taken from last year to this year has been pretty impressive.
No question. I mean, it's probably as big of a jump from year one to two that I've seen a player make, especially of that caliber. You know, you see some guys go from okay to pretty good, but to see a player that was, you know, good last year to you know, start scratching the surface of being a really, really fine, you know, kind of great, so to speak, player, he's embarking on that, and it's pretty neat.
All right, let's play Are You a Bears Authority with Patrick Manley and Josh McCown. It's real simple. Here's how we play. I ask you a question. If you know the answer, just hit the buzzer in front of you, just like that. That's what it's going to sound like. And
1-0, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then whoever hits the buzzer first gets an opportunity to answer the question. If that person gets it wrong, the next player has an opportunity to answer the question, and it's a best of seven. So whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Patrick, you're playing for Keith Whitehead from Chicago, and Josh, you're playing for Drew Copeland from Bourbonnais.
Sorry, Drew.
I'm gonna say that in advance. I'm playing against somebody who's here since the inception of the team.
Well, real quick, every one of these we've had, there's been a Josh McCown question. So is there one tonight?
I don't know yet. I did not write the questions.
Every week there's been a question. You've been one of the questions.
At least I can get one right.
Yeah.
There is a Josh McCown question coming up here in this game. So, and if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game because you think it's cool, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Ready?
Go.
Here we go. Question number one. Which player on the current Bears roster lists a city outside of the United States as his hometown? I'll give you a hint. Defensive side of the ball up front. Patrick.
Steven Paya.
Correct. Yes. I can't pronounce the name of the city, but it's in Tonga. And it's V-A-V-A apostrophe U.
Okay. You next question.
Patrick Manley, a 1-0 lead over Josh McCown. Question number two, we flip it to offense. He played wide receiver for the New York Jets in 1987. He has been a position coach for the Cowboys, Raiders, and UCLA, among others. He is currently an assistant coach with the Bears. Who is he?
Played receiver?
Played receiver for the Jets. He does not coach the receivers on the Bears.
Why am I drawing a blank? You're drawing a blank, too.
I'm drawing a blank.
He's an offensive assistant. Josh.
Skip Pete.
Correct. The running
back
coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
How about this? We've got a game.
Learn something
got
new
a game.
Every day.
Apparently, Josh he also scored very high on the Wonderlic. It's a 1-1 tie between Josh and Pat. Question three. Who is the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster who played his college ball at Washington State? Josh.
Number 10, Marquise
yes.
Wilson.
Correct.
Thank you.
Obviously, you have not thrown him the ball much in practice.
No, I have. I have
number 10. They have.
I just wanted to
say name out.
Marquise. I wanted to say it right.
Yes.
I wanted to say it right. No,
it's spelled Marquez, right?
Marquez, yeah.
But it's pronounced Marquise.
Marquise. Sometimes we call him Q, and I'm going to tell you, this kid's going to be a good player.
Yes.
We throw a lot after practice. And while we're on the subject, just watch out for him because he's going to be a good player.
And he started to he's active on game day now, and occasionally you see him slide in on the offense. Which mm-hmm. And Mark Trestman doesn't just throw anybody out there. So you're right. That does mean that there's ability there.
Yep.
All right, so it's a 2-1 lead for McCown over Manley. Question number four. We're sticking with offense here. Brandon Marshall was born on March 23rd. What year? Josh.
1983.
Incorrect.
Let's go with 84.
Correct.
Oh, good guess.
Oh, wow. We've got a game here. It's a 2-2 tie. And by the way, I believe Brandon Marshall was a liberal arts major at Central Florida, but he must have done a little pre-med because he's the only guy that was saying Jay Cutler was going to be back for the Lions.
He knows the power of the ARP.
Man, is he the Brandon Marshall that we see in front of the mic? And he does use the ARP.
He's an ARP user as well.
Yeah.
The Brandon Marshall that we see in front of the microphones and, you know, the cameras and all that kind of stuff, is he like that with you guys in the huddle, in practice? You know, is he does he constantly have something interesting to say, or is he a hardcore competitor?
Both. I mean, he goes back and forth. You know, he loves to compete, and he like every receiver, every good receiver, he wants the ball, and so those are good things. But he's also got good things to say. He's good to listen to.
Yeah, it was fun. He was mic'd up for the game, mm-hmm. And he had a lot to say. You were telling me before the game, Josh, that you were trying to calm everybody down because it would keep you calm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just it. exciting, you know, atmosphere and environment. So it's just like, you know, if everybody can, because I get excited and I get the huddle and I'm loud, like the guys joked about it. So it's like if everybody else stay calm, my best chance to stay calm is for that to happen.
Yeah, the players told him he was too loud in the huddle.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's only played road games this year. Think about that. All right. Question number five, and here is the Josh McCown question. Game tied at two. In what NFL season did Josh McCown have his most pass attempts in? And
oh,
Josh,
this is great. I don't
even.
You got 3 seconds. Someone hit the buzzer. Josh, you want me to give you the multiple choice?
04.
He knew it.
I hope so.
I was counting them up.
At least we kept the streak going with Josh's question.
408 attempts for the Cardinals back in 2004. Josh, a 3-2 lead over Pat here in Are You a Bears Authority? Question number six.
Hopefully this is about me.
It is not about you. It's it's about one of the reserve quarterbacks on the Bears who, unlike Josh, actually plays receiver. In what year did the Bears draft wide receiver Earl Bennett? Josh.
2007.
Incorrect.
2008.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, man. Three all heading into question number seven.
We just wanted it to build to this moment.
Yeah. It's a crescendo, which means right now, Drew Copeland in Bourbonnais is rooting for Josh to get this question right, and Keith Whitehead in Chicago is rooting for Manley to get this right. And here's what's at stake, a gift certificate to a Sports Authority. Question number seven. What obscure college did Bears offensive lineman Taylor Boggs?
Wow, Humboldt.
Dang it!
Patrick, you both knew it! He's a backup center and guard. How about Patrick Manley using his 94 years of experience playing for the
team.
Bears franchise?
Exactly.
I was studying last night.
So that means that Keith Whitehead in Chicago wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority, but a valiant effort by Josh McCown in his first go-around in this game. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the things that were kind of mentioned a little bit here in this segment, but we didn't go in-depth on. We will next. With McCown and Manley, I'm Zaidman on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, Josh McCown. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our live audience from FedEx. And we're also taking your Twitter questions via the Bears All Access Twitter account at Bears All Access. I got a couple of questions here for you guys. You want me to... You ready for this? This is a new thing that we're doing here on the show. This one's for Josh from Tommy Nelson. Hey, Josh, does crowd noise ever affect you? Should be pointed out, two games this year for the Bears, passer rating of 100, both on the road.
Okay. Does crowd noise affect?
Yes.
It can, depending on where you're playing. Started my career in the NFC West. Going up to Seattle every year was pretty loud. But for the most part, especially with the way, you know, with technology, the way we get these speakers at practice now and we pump out this noise, by the time the game gets there, you're usually accustomed to it because of the silent cadence and the things that we do. You see us when we pump our leg and Garza bobs his head and all those things. That's how we get the ball snapped. So we're kind of getting, you know, it used to be a bigger factor. I think teams are getting used to it now. But there are still stadiums that you go into that it's pretty loud and it can get to you. But Monday night, it wasn't too bad.
I got no answer, but I don't have to worry about noise. What are you talking about?
I mean, does it affect your snapping?
No.
You never had the crowd affect your ability to fire the ball back?
The only thing you'd maybe get it on would be a game winner for Robbie, but, you know, I'm close enough. I'm looking at Adam's mouth so I can see him saying the cadence. So, no, that's not a question for me.
Josh was talking about Seattle. Your brother, Luke, plays in, at least for an indoor facility at the Superdome. Mm-hmm. I mean, the advantage there is unbelievable.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's a loud place too, and between the crowd noise and their offense scoring points, it creates a lot of anxiety for you as an opposing offense because you know you got your work cut out for you. So it's a tough place to play. When I was in Carolina, we played there a couple times, and it got loud.
Give me an idea of, because you have the advantage as a quarterback, you understand like when the noise affects you. So for fans that are going to the game Sunday at Soldier Field, if you want to really disrupt the visiting team, and you want to make life hard for Matthew Stafford and the Lions offense, when do you have to get loud?
Really, I mean, for me, sometimes there's been issues. If a stadium can get really loud, sometimes it's now apparently not according to Garza and the guys. I'm pretty loud in the huddle, but but it can get loud. It can get frustrating in the huddle because you're starting to call the play and you look down there and one of the guys, you can see him squinting or he's trying to hear you, and so that creates anxiety for you as a quarterback. He's like, did he hear it? Now you're walking the line going, did everybody hear it? Does he know what we're going?
Are you talking about in the huddle?
In the huddle, yeah. So before you even break the huddle. The noise can be a factor, and then certainly once you get to the line of scrimmage, I mean, the louder you can get, the more issues, especially if a team is going to check and do things, because now you see the quarterback, he's got to run, he can't just, yell it from back there, he's got to run up to the line, he's got to make sure everybody knows it, and now the clock becomes a factor. So all those things considered, I mean, noise is definitely an advantage, and to me, the earlier you can start it, you can start it when they're in a huddle, and you can maintain it through the snap. It's huge.
And I think if you were to pick a down, it would obviously be third down.
No doubt.
Third and long for sure. Like you said, you got to go through checks. You're probably looking for blitz stuff. And
No doubt. And third and long, backed up when they're closest to the people behind, So, and then obviously in the red zone. But, yeah, when third and long, especially because that's when your blitzes, your stuff's, your checks are coming where you want to make, mic points and move protections and things like that. And so if you can, bring the noise, then it creates some anxiety.
And if I can add my two cents, if the Bears are going for it on fourth down in the red zone,
quiet, please.
Yeah, don't get excited that. I think fans at Soldier Field have to kind of recalibrate the way they think about the Bears, because for so long it was defense, 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 and there wasn't a lot of offense to cheer for. There is now.
Yes.
You have to be quiet, because you can truly influence the game.
One of the most amazing things I ever saw was going to Indianapolis and playing a game there and listening.
Yeah.
To conversations in the crowd while Peyton Manning had the ball.
No doubt.
It was it was quiet as could be. It was almost eerie.
When you can hear Andrew Luck call plays in South Bend from Indianapolis. I mean, that's how quiet the whole state of Indiana gets when the Colts offense has the ball.
No, and it's cool. I mean, and you have if you're a true football fan, you have an appreciation for it, because you get that. It's really neat because you have 60,000, 70,000 people in there that get it. That you're like, man, they understand what we're trying to get accomplished. So there's a sense that we're in it together, So if a fan wants to feel connected, be in tune with a game like that. When the offense got the ball, be quiet. When the defense has it, scream your head off, and that helps us.
Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, Josh McCown here for the full hour on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. During the commercial break, Josh was sharing the story the first time that he played wide receiver in the NFL. Can you share that? You were playing for at the time?
Detroit. I was playing for Detroit. And so just to recap, I had run a few routes, help another quarterback kind of get loose and warm up every week, kind of get some throws in. And so eventually that led to playing on scout team, which eventually led to playing in a game. And so I took my gloves to Arizona. They said, bring your gloves to this game. You're going to be the fifth receiver or whatever, or maybe the fourth at the time. But at any rate, Roy Williams, who's with us at the time, comes out of the game, and I'm standing there just kind of watching the game, and I look around, and they're like, Josh, you're in. And we're in a two-minute drill. So I hop right in there, and I run around, and I had just left Arizona. I spent my first 4 years there, so I just left Arizona. So I had a lot of teammates or a lot of friends on the other sideline. So I run like at this in route, and so as I run it, I turn, and I'm square facing, coming on an in route facing their sideline, and the ball had gotten thrown, so it kind of gone away. And I look up, and there's all my buddies from Arizona. They're just dying laughing, like, what is this dude doing out here playing receivers? It's kind of funny.
You think Mark Trestman's driving around right now listening to this show going,
maybe, yeah.
Because he's very creative.
Might need to get a few ARPs if we're going to do that.
Got to take a timeout when we come back. What's the key to reversing what you guys did in Detroit last time out? Bears-Lions coming up on Sunday at Soldier Field. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our live audience from FedEx on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our live audience from FedEx on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are taking some of your questions via Twitter, the Bears All Access Twitter account at Bears All Access, for the next couple of segments. Want to remind you that you can enjoy a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season, brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, along with our special guest quarterback Josh McCown. Now, last time out against Detroit, The Bears committed four turnovers, and yet, despite those four turnovers, you guys were still in the game late. So I'm guessing heading into Sunday's game at Soldier Field, one of the big keys to kind of do what you did in Green Bay, limit the turnovers.
Yeah, it's funny. I just got through watching our tape from the first time around. I just wanted to get a look at it again. And it is. I mean, we got to eliminate the turnovers, and a lot of things go into that. But I think we can do that. I think that's a pretty easy fix for us, just by everything, by execution, by the plays that we call, all the things. So that's the idea. I mean, because you're right. You know, usually I don't know what we were that game, but -4 or whatever we ended up, -3. I think we got a couple on defense. To be that on the road and still be as close as we were, you know, it was pretty impressive. So we just got to be able to finish it this time around.
Like Josh said, I think it's something you can control. You can control not turning the ball over. Excuse me real quick. A little chest cold. You can control that, but defensively we've got to continue getting the ball back. You know, there's stats all over the NFL, but one stat that always sticks out in my mind is if you win the turnover battle, you're most likely going to win the game. So if we, like you said, you eliminate the offensive turnovers and continue doing what we've been doing on defense, we're going to be just fine.
And on special teams, kind of the low point this year was in Detroit.
Yeah, it kind of started then. We, you know, gave up a big return there, and it kind of changed the game because they scored points off of that. And there's some issues we have on special teams. We know that. We've got to fix them. And it's us as players, and it's not the young guys. It's some of the older guys are making mistakes, and we're taking ownership of that. And the schemes we're running, Coach Joe, you know, I've heard Joe DeCamillis is getting some heat. It's not him. It's us as players, and we all know that, and we've got to step up our game.
Speaking of heat, man, you know, when you talk about having to prepare for a game without actually getting reps, how do you do it? As a backup quarterback,
oh,
keep
man.
Yourself sharp.
Yeah, there's several things, and I think one of the things for me is, and I encourage young quarterbacks to figure that out, is just how do you learn? What's the best thing for you? And it's taken me a while to find out what the best process is for me. But there's different things that I do, whether it's because our play calls are very wordy. Sometimes it's writing them out over and over again, like I'm sure some of you maybe studied in high school and college that way. During the play, like while Jay's doing their actual rep, I'll be behind him taking kind of going through the same footwork, going through the same mindset. I'll go up and listen to the play call. I'll recall it to one of the players standing next to me. Just all these little things that for me creates, the feeling as if I'm getting as close to the live rep as I can. And makes me feel more prepared.
Is that, you talked about being behind the line of scrimmage and doing your drops and stuff. You didn't do that in the past, did you? Is this something new that Tressman's brought in?
Yeah, Mark asked us to do it in the spring. It was harder because we had more bodies back there, because you got 90 guys on the roster or whatever. So you got more bodies, so it's harder to get that done. And we were learning a new system, and it's hard to go through a drop or turn your back to the play because you want to watch the play because you're trying to learn the system. So we weren't as consistent with it, but once the roster got cut down, there's not as many guys back there, and I have a firm grasp of what's going on. Now it's easy to stand back there, take the drop, go through the read, or even go through the run game, even that footwork. Because a lot of times that's a part as a backup that people, you'll concentrate so much on learning the passes that you'll get into a game. If you ever have to play, you get into a game and a run will be called and you're like, oh, what's the footwork for that run? Like you'll forget it because you've concentrated on so many other things. So all those things really helped me.
It almost looked like a shadow back there. It's kind of funny watching you. It is. You'll see the hand, the fake handoff to the running back to the, the fake throw or whatever you're doing, but you look just like a shadow.
Yeah. No, it's helped. I mean, it was funny. I got in that Washington game, and it was just like, I've been in games before where a play will come in, and you'll go, oh, what is that? Like,
you've done the footwork before.
I've done the footwork. For whatever reason, obviously, I believe it's the preparation. It just everything that Mark was calling, it felt like I'd done it all. So it obviously, paid dividends.
Now, do you have a ball in your hand when you're
– Sometimes.
Have you ever accidentally let go?
Yeah, no. There's people standing in front and they injure somebody. But sometimes, depending on the number of healthy bodies that we have out there that can give a – if we're doing walkthroughs with the scout team and stuff like that, Taylor Boggs will be back there from Humboldt. Will be back there with us, and he'll snap me the ball. So he'll go through his call. So it's a good process for both of us.
Does Michael Bush stand behind you so you can
We've done that before.
See, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That works. All right, when we come back, I want to hit on the number one topic that's being talked about in sports, but particularly the NFL. You know what I'm talking about, that crazy situation that's occurring in Miami. We'll find out if stuff like that has ever happened to you in your NFL or just football careers. That's next with Josh McCown and Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our live audience from FedEx on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our live audience from FedEx, along with Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaidman. Our guest, Josh McCown. I want to remind you to listen to the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall, Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. And man, if you're an offensive player, you listen to this coaching staff. There's a lot of wisdom there.
Oh, no doubt. It's a very well put together staff. Obviously, you know, Coach Trestman has an offensive background, and so it starts with him. But we've got some gifted teachers on the staff, and Aaron Cromer, our offensive coordinator, he is probably in my 12 years one of the more gifted teachers that I've been around, and he's really, really special. And so it's neat to be able to have a coach of that caliber. That New Orleans let us get him is pretty cool. Matt Cavanaugh, the experience that he has, you know, Matt played 14 years in the league and was a part of three Super Bowl teams. We mentioned Skip earlier. I mean, we've just Mike Grove, been around a lot of ball, down in Alabama, winning national championships. I mean, so our staff is really well put together. And I think, you know, you see it in each position group. Guys go out there and they know what they're supposed to do and they take care of their business. And it's a credit to the coaches.
On the Monday or Tuesday following the game, Coach Trestman will break down the offense, defense, special teams and show us, you know, why we won the game or why we lost the game or things like that. And being a special teams player, not in those offensive meetings, he'll explain the offense to us and say why this play was successful or why this was run and how we executed this. And just to listen to him talk and explain it, he makes it simple. And then it's amazing when he's up. It's almost like he's showing the X's and O's through the video of how he – you know, got this guy here to get open or this running back, why we ran this play. And it's, he's really, really impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I like we used to joke at camp when Aaron Cromer's doing the run install, like Jay and I would look at each other and be like, I want to pull and hit somebody now. You know, like he's teaching a guard how to pull, or he's teaching this guy how to jump snatch. And I'm like, and you're watching him teach it, you know what I mean? And if he was telling somebody how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I mean, I think it would be good. Like, yeah, I would want to go, hey, I want to go make that. You know, that's his gift, you know?
And great coaches make it like you want to go do it. Yeah. And you do it well. It'd be a great peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Exactly, no doubt about it. So I think we have that. I liken it to, in 2011, I was with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco when they first got there after the lockout. I went to camp with those guys. And when I got cut and I left there, I remember thinking, these guys are going to win. They're going to be successful. Because it was just a group of great teachers and really selfless teachers, the whole staff, and especially on the offensive side. And so when we got with Mark this spring, it just reminded me of that instantly. And I was like, man, that's a good sign, because those guys obviously, you know, in San Fran experienced success very quickly. And so, you know, it's you know, hopefully we'll keep going, but it's happening here a little bit.
And it's trickled down to some of the veteran leaders on the team. You know, Lance Briggs was as involved as anyone in that game at Lambeau on the sidelines, kind of coaching up those young linebackers that were playing in a key spot for the first time in their lives. So that's a big deal. Now, before we say goodbye, you guys see it every single day on the news, and it's beyond sports now. What's happening with the Miami Dolphins? What do you make of the Incognito Martin situation as players in this league?
You know what? It's without having all the information and being right there, when you're on the inside and you hear other people talk about your locker room, you kind of have to temper it. And so I'm going to do that, because I don't know everything. The thing I was saying off the air is I think we have to be careful, like with the whole bullying thing, because there are people that are really getting bullied. And I'm not saying that this is not bullying, or it is, but just we're so quick to label something one thing or the other. And I just think we have to be careful with that. And but you know, not knowing the ins and outs of it, you know, I don't know everything that's going on.
That's the key to me, is you don't know what's going on. So once we find the truth, then I think we can really tackle this issue.
Guys, thank you so much. What an hour. Josh McCown, Patrick Manley, our friends from FedEx. I'm Zach Zaidman for Greg Miller and Paul Zarang, saying so long. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.